The following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Rise and shine, folks. Welcome here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. I'm Anthony Bellino, joined alongside Danica Halen and Ryan Elke. Joining you all across the great state of Michigan, and good morning to our friends in the Glass City as well. Plenty of ways you can get in contact with us here on the show. You can text the keyword sports radio to 21000. That's sports radio to 21000. Auto Value guest line 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. On Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros, and of course on television as well on Comcast Channel 900. So good morning to all of our television viewers. You can find our podcast or listen to anything you might have missed on demand. Wherever you get your podcast, SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, whatever the case may be. Regardless, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9 here on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny, Ryan, gentlemen, how the hell are you?
It's Friday. I think we're both good.
Yeah, this is it?
It doesn't seem like, I was talking to Ryan earlier, the week kind of flew by once we got here, but it didn't seem like it at the beginning of the week. Like Tuesday, I was like, man, this might be a long week, and now we're already Friday, so I'm all right.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild to think that, you know, today's already August 14th, the midway point of August. Oh boy, will we have high school football or will we not? That is the question. I know that one of my buddies who coaches at Monroe High School, they were supposed to have a game against, I believe, Wyandotte Week 1. That's already been canceled. Not because of COVID or anything like that, but because the delay in getting a start to camp. They decided to pull Week 1, so I talked to him, and they will not be playing week number 1. So it'll be interesting to see how long these youngsters can last out there and because they're not going to test. They're going to do the temperature check and that's going to be it. You know, so if you're asymptomatic, we have no idea. I had a parent send me a let them play an open letter to Governor Whitmer. They sent me that via Twitter. So I thought that was very interesting.
This parent that you know wrote that letter, or it was just something they found? Oh, wow. Good for them.
Yeah,
the parent that
I know wrote the letter and then just tagged a whole bunch of people in it, and I just happened to be one of the people that was tagged in it. And I took a look at the letter, and it was well written. And the parents are like, hey, that we wanted to play, we wanted to go to school, we want life to carry on. So I mean, you really can't argue with that.
Can't argue with it, except Whitmer put it in the hands of the MHSAA to make a ruling on fall sports, and then they're in return said it's going to be up to the district. So she should be more pleading to her district about playing high school football than Governor Whitmer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that maybe the long-term goal of it was like, hey, why would you put this on them? Just allow it. Just give it the stamp of approval and be done with it. But it sounds like Mr. Yule there at the MHSAA seems confident. He talks with our friend Bill Simonson on The Huge Show weekdays from 3 to 6 pretty regularly. I think it's on Wednesdays that Bill has him on. But this past week was pretty clear that, you know, football is going to be played. Fall sports are going to carry on. So that's a positive. We had NHL Hub City playoff bubble action. Yesterday we had madness in the NBA trying to figure out who's going to be in the playoffs and who is not. We needed some help. The Phoenix Suns did at least. They were 8-0 in the bubble. Would they get the help they needed late last night for one team to beat another to get them into the playoffs? Well, how would Columbus rebound against Tampa Bay on the ice? Or would they be deflated after the first game, which was a 5-overtime loss, a historic game number 1 between the Lightning and the Blue Jackets? We would have more overtime yesterday in the Hub Cities as well. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. The PGA Tour is up and running, as we had golf yesterday as well. The Tigers were off, however. They will begin a three-game set this weekend, so that'll be exciting. And we've got a lot to get to, so let's get you all caught up with all the happenings across the world of sports. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
So the NCAA came out with a couple of very interesting statements, or I don't even know how to say this. There was an interview done, and Mark Emmert, the NCAA's president, said there will be no NCAA championships this fall due to the coronavirus pandemic. So you're not going to have any championships that the NCAA is going to put up. Okay, all right, that's fine. I mean, you don't affect the college football playoff anyways. But he also went on to say that they have no authority over conference and school decisions on football, which I thought was very interesting to just like openly come out and say they can't tell the SEC, ACC, or Big 12 or any other conference or school that they can't play college football or that they really can't do anything. He was on Social Series on Twitter saying that, quote, we have no authority to do that. We don't have the authority to say to a school, yeah, okay, we know that your conference isn't playing. You want to go ahead and play over here? I may think that's a silly idea, but that's not up to me. It's not up to anybody. That school has its own authority to do that. And this is basically, for me, the glaring damnation that is what is wrong with the NCAA. Like, that's it right there. That's it. I don't know how else to say it. Not real sure. The NCAA is also looking at a bubble idea for the upcoming hoops tournament in 2020-2021. So even will they even be able to play that? I have no idea. So Brendan Quinn said mail it in on this season. That was terrifying. That's not what I wanted to see, especially from somebody like him, an opinion and a writer who is greatly respected, especially around these parts, but just overall nationally, for him to say, hey, you know, maybe we just mail this thing in and call it a day and worry about next year. Like, I think you got to at least try, right? You have to at least try. Did you see the caddy that cost his golfer the hole in the match at the US Amateur? Did you see this, Dan?
I did not see it. I saw the headline real quick this morning, but I've not seen what exactly happened. He touched the sand with his hand, his fingers. What?
Yes.
So he grabbed the sand?
Yeah, a kid from Georgia Tech was all square with a guy from Argentina, Segundo Olivia Pinto. They were entering the 18th hole of their round of 16 match on Thursday at Bandon Dunes in Bandon, Oregon. Pinto hit his approach shot on the last hole into a greenside bunker, which then entered to check the ball's lie before exiting to get a better look at the green. While he did that, his caddy stepped into the bunker, leaned down, and touched the sand with his hand, costing the match right there. Unbelievable. And then tried to play it off like he didn't. Like, no, we have cameras out here. Like, that's why, like, you can't touch the sand. What are you doing? What's the matter with you? It's one of those quirky rules in golf, but, hey, it is what it is. It is a rule. You got to follow the rules. And speaking of golf, Harold Varner III is 8-under par tied for the lead right now at the Wyndham Championship. Not really too many big names playing this weekend. I mean, you have, Billy Horschel is out there.
There's the group yesterday of JT, Koepka, and Jordan Spieth.
Those three.
That's
party
it.
Time. Outside of that, it's not a real loaded field at the Wyndham Championship, but at least those guys are playing in it. According to sources, George Kittle and the 49ers have reached a 5-year, $75 million contract extension. Good for him. More tight end news. More tight ends getting paid. How about the Kansas City Chiefs offered a 4-year, $57.25 million contract extension to their tight end, Travis Kelce. What's interesting is that, just a few months ago before the draft, the Kansas City Chiefs had $171 on the cap, like underneath the cap to work with. $171, not 1,000, not 100,000, not million. They had $171 within their cap threshold, if you will. And they found out a way to extend Travis Kelce, to pay Patrick Mahomes, to pay up front on the D-line. Like, incredible work. That's why you have capologists and cap specialists who can fiddle with the numbers and make these things happen. And the Bucks' Bruce Arians isn't worried about live reps for the team and said that newcomer Tom Brady, that's the least of his concerns. All right, we're going to step aside. We're back with more of X's and Bros after this on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. Now they're located in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, which is less than an hour north of GR, a couple hours from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half if you're coming down from Traverse City. It's accessible to everybody listening right now, and it's one of America's top public golf resorts. They offer two 18-hole layouts, Tullymore and St. Ives. They have fantastic stay-and-play packages like the Sizzlin' Summer Deal that includes a prime rib dinner. Go to TullymoreGolf.com, book that stay-and-play package, mention the Huge Show, and you could save at TullymoreGolf.com. Also, check out the Lodge. It holds 24 people if you want to have the ultimate stay-and-play getaway when it comes to golf and also after your round. They offer fine dining to great sandwiches and more. See it for yourself at TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. They'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on Rood.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at #PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, ThePizzaMan.com, or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. I'm Anthony Bellino alongside Ryan Elke and Danny Cahalan. Jake Woods holding it down in our studio in the Glass City as we welcome you all back here in hour number one. Don't worry, we're going until 9 o'clock here on your morning drive on this Friday, August 14th. A little brisk this morning as you make your way out of the house if you're hopping in the car right now headed to work. So, the change in apparel, it is definitely happening sooner. Now, we've had some brisk mornings, but the afternoons have been a little warmer, so I guess I can deal with
Come
that.
Come on now.
It starts off like at 65.
That's not bad.
That's brisk. I when you're used to waking up and it's like 75, 80 degrees every day, it gets down because this is the beginning, Dan. Next thing you know, we're going to be shoveling snow. This is how it all starts. First it's like, "Oh, it's not that bad." And then it's like, "Damn, it's cold." Then it's like, "Wow, I got to start my car." It's getting dark out earlier. It's not getting light out till later in the morning. Oh, it's terrible. There was a big news yesterday out of East Lansing, and that was that that Michigan State added another commit. The Izzo kids earned a commitment from a four-star in-state point guard by the name of Jaden Atkins. He was also a Wolverines target. He becomes the fifth prospect to commit to Michigan State since April. Influx of Spartan talent currently counting only the current members of the 2021 class. Is it Akins, Max Christie, and Pierre Brooks II? Michigan State is one over its scholarship limit for 2021-2022. But it gets more complicated even for the Sparties because they also have two 2022 commitments in Imani Bates. And I don't know how to say Enoch's last name. Do you know?
I don't have it right in front of me. So
Boakye?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Nah, I hate to do that, but...
For now.
Enoch, whatever his last name is. Yo, shout out to him. Congratulations. They both have left the door open to potentially reclassifying and joining the program this upcoming year. If they were both to do so, the Spartans would have to find three more scholarships to accommodate all of them. I mean, I look at what they have right now with Kithier, Aaron Henry, Rocket Watts. Man, Gabe Brown, everybody else looking kind of...
Henry will be gone. Foster Lawyer, thanks, go to the Mac.
Wow! Shots fired.
I mean, unless he can come out and average like 12 points a game, I don't need him stopping his dribble at half court and getting trapped and turning the ball over.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting parts for Jaden Akins is that he said that with the amount of talent coming in, he was very excited to play with that. And Michigan State has had a very strong recruiting year. What will Imani do? We've talked about this. We have no idea. You know, he seems like a G League select kind of guy. If that is, if the G League continues this program, they see some success with it, and we don't have we don't have any problems. But with the coronavirus season on the brink, like who knows? Who knows exactly what's going to work? What's not going to work? And you know, I doubt they're going to go bubble format for the NBA's G League. I highly doubt that. So will they go the Ball family route and try to play pro overseas? It's a good, I mean, these are all questions that, or will the NBA eventually at some point in the next two seasons, which I don't see happening at all, open their doors for players to come directly out of high school? Because it's a, no matter how many times we talk about this, the NBA players, you know, when you look at it, when they were young, they wanted that opportunity. But now that they're in the league, the last thing you want is some high school kid coming in there and taking your job. Like, that's serious. And we'll have to wait and see. But Michigan State looking pretty strong on paper right now from a recruiting standpoint. The Spartan Dogs, if you will. By the way, why do they say Spartan Dogs?
Honestly, I have no idea.
You don't like it, do you?
I don't mind it, but it's honestly, like, Dogs isn't any part of your nickname. But whatever. The players like it. They seem to enjoy it and go by it. So I'm not gonna fight it.
Got you. Okay.
I like the Spartan Dogs. I think that's cool. I like
like the Spartan Dogs?
I think that's cool. I like the Spartans Will also. I like those. Ryan was rocking that the other day.
It's better than when Adidas gave Michigan the We On shirts. That was.
Yeah, but that was never a school like that. No, was that's like what I'm saying.
It was
thing
a,
from
it was
the
an
brand.
Adidas thing.
Yeah,
like Adidas has had some really awful.
That's why
awful
they find
job
themselves in the places that they're in now.
Right. That's why they flipped to Jordan. But it's like, yeah.
But Spartan Dogs is like a thing. Like that's what. Like this is going on for years now.
Yeah, I'm not sure who started it. I don't mind it for the, but I don't know the origin.
Yeah, the Spartans Will, I'm okay with it. Spartan Dogs, I'm like, eh, it's a little. Anyways, we're going to stay in East Lansing right now as Michigan State is exploring everything as an option to try to address the huge budget loss without fall football. And this is every athletic department across the board. Bill Beekman just chose to kind of speak on it after the Big Ten on Tuesday canceled all fall sports with the possibility of potentially playing in the spring. Quote, I want to express and I share the real disappointment of our coaches and our student athletes. They'll be forced to at least to wait a while and delay doing what they love to do. In many cases, what they've trained to do their whole lives. But I think it's possible to be disappointed and still understand the logic behind the decision. And this is the smartest thing that I've heard somebody say, Bill Beekman say yet. And it's like, that's what I was trying to convey yesterday on Twitter, is that I can show empathy for the athletes and for the coaches, whether they're at the high school or the college level. I don't have an opinion for you. Should they play? Should they not play? People keep asking me that. Do you think they should play? I don't know. I don't know the long-term ramifications of this thing. If you contract it, I don't know how the legal process would work out. If somebody contracts it and dies, the numbers tell me the odds of that of happening are pretty slim. Are you an odds kind of guy? How many kids drown per year? I mean, but drowning isn't contagious. Unless, you know, you try to go into the pool and help them, they pull you down. Outside of that, like, it's different when you look at a virus and how we're handling this. And I think it's okay to kind of be on the fence about this. And I think that there's a real push for right and wrong in that I don't really understand. Like, I don't really understand. You don't get anything if you're right. You know, if the Big Ten and the Pac-12 turn out that, hey, they were right, right? And the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12, they have some issues throughout their football season. The NCAA isn't going to send the Big Ten and the Pac-12 anything. They don't get more scholars. They don't get anything. This was just, it's a flip of the coin at this point on what's going to happen. We don't know. And that's okay.
Right. I was talking with someone yesterday just about schools opening, and they're like, well, like, I'd like them open. I was like, just imagine the decision you have to make, because no matter what decision you make, you're you're probably wrong. Like, there's bad sides on no matter what decision you make when it comes to schools and even college football. Like, no one's right in this instance as of right now. And I think that's the troubling thing, especially in this society where we're instant gratification. We're told to sit and wait.
Told to sit and wait, not told what the right answer is. And then you always have the people that are willing to tell you basically tell you what you should be doing, right? Because it's something that they're going to be doing. And as a parent, if you have to make some of these choices about your kid playing fall sports, about in-person versus virtual learning, the decisions the teachers have to make, like, no matter, you're really damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I feel like sports have really been in that same position as well, at least at the college and high school level. At the pro level, I had somebody willing to bet me money. They wanted to make a wager that the NFL won't play. And my question is this: how would the NFL not play? Look at what MLB's doing. MLB's fine. So they had to suspend the Cardinals a couple times. Like, big deal. The Marlins, they had some games suspended. Okay, big deal. Like, outside of that, the rest of the league is running. So
just make sure you have enough team gear when you're bringing people into the hotel.
You got to make sure that you can dress them up into some different team gear to sneak them into the hotel. We can get to that story and much more. Coming up next, however, we have a Michigan alum, Chris Wormley. He's going to join us on a myriad of topics. He's got a new home in Pittsburgh. Plus, what are his thoughts on the suspension for college? All that and more with Big Worm coming up next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a new day, a day of winning big and Soaring Eagle. During the $1 million summer, Saturdays now through September. That's right, $1 million in premium play is up for grabs. With six players winning $500 every half hour from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. It's the $1 million summer, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
It's easy to get all the best groceries in town in one trip when you shop at Meijer. Find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to everyday products at low Meijer prices. Save with weekly deals going on now, like family pack boneless, skinless chicken breasts, only $1.88 per pound. And Meijer vitamins or supplements are buy one, get one free. Get all the things you love for all the people you love, all in one place. At Meijer. Some exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Huge, with a message from my good friend Mark Yule, who's the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Now, they have their return to fall sports updated guidelines available at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. You can go through all sports, boys and girls, and what the plans are right now moving forward, and also some of the key dates coming up in late August when it comes to fall sports in the state of Michigan at our local high schools. Mark Yule and his executive council, they have worked together throughout this entire pandemic, putting the safety of boys and girls at all Michigan high schools first. So go to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook to get the latest on the return to fall sports at Michigan high schools.
X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino, and joining us on the horn right now, one of my longtime friends, a Michigan football alum and current Pittsburgh Steelers. His name's Chris Wormley, a Big Worm, my man. First and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us. How you been? How's the family? You safe? You healthy? Everybody's good?
Yeah, man. Cannot complain. Family's healthy. Wife's doing well. 7-month-old daughter is thriving during this quarantine COVID new world that we're living in, but yeah, man, can't complain. In Pittsburgh right now for camp, and just I think not only me, but the entire world is at least the United States is ready for some football.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself. Are you ready for some football? It takes a whole new meaning. And you're fresh out of the massage chair too. I think the listeners would appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? This guy's ultra relaxed right now. He's feeling great. I'm gonna try not to stress you out. You did mention a 7-month-old, so congratulations on the child. What is, you're in a locker room full of guys that, you know, some are single and ready to mingle, others are married family men. So what's kind of the attitude about, you know, COVID-19 and being in the locker room and getting tested, and then maybe concerns about, you know, you especially, not only, you know, worried about yourself and as a single person, you know, we don't necessarily worry about ourselves as much as, you know, we would as if, like, I was in your shoes, a family man with a young child at home.
Absolutely. And there's 21-year-old rookies that I'm sure are ready to see what Pittsburgh has to offer. But then there's also guys like Cam Hayward, who has three kids and is on a contract, as on a contract year to prove himself, to, you know, continue to play in this league at a high level and get paid at a high level like he deserves. So he wants to be able to play, but also wants to keep his three kids and his wife safe. So there's a big mixture of guys from, like I said, you know, young to old. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle, but I think we're all taking it seriously. The protocols that have been put in place have allowed us to kind of move freely throughout the facility throughout the first 2 weeks of camp. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens during the season. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, with other teams and how they handle things, and if people, you know, big batches of people get infected, as far as, you know, position groups and things like that throughout the facility and throughout the league. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for some teams.
You know, Chris, when you talk about, you know, being able to move freely throughout the facility, what was it like the first 2 days? I mean, what are they, like onboarding days? Like you're getting that thing shoved up your nose and you're trying not to cough while they're doing it. Like how uncomfortable was that?
Yeah, so I've been here for almost 3 weeks now. And the first week, literally, we just come in, get tested, and go home. And that was for 5 out of the 6 days. And once we passed that, you know, everyone can come in. And then we did last week was more walkthroughs and just lifting. But as far as the testing, it's just a little swab around the nose. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of the videos where they're literally shoving it up and it looks like they're touching the brain. It's not that intense. It's pretty... I've picked my nose harder than these tests or what they do with the nose. So it's not too bad. But yeah, we've been tested every day except for one, I think, for the last almost 3 weeks. So, you know, testing is probably the biggest thing for us. And obviously we wear masks throughout the facility, and there's different types of, I guess, plastic things that you can wear on your face mask and, you know, during games that are going to be able to hopefully prevent the spread a little bit if someone has it and we don't catch it right away. But this is new waters for everyone. You know, this is something that we haven't dealt with in over 100 years. You know, the 1918 Spanish flu, I think, was the last, you know, big pandemic that kind of shut everything down. And, you know, people are learning day by day with how things are going. But we're just ready for football. And I think guys are taking it seriously enough to understand the gravity of it and, you know, what it means to, you know, put things aside for the next 4 or 5 months. And once the season's over, you know, you can take those boys trips or you can, you know, have fun with friends and things like that. But for the next 5 months, kind of hunker down and focus on football.
Chris Wormley, a well-read man, a Michigan-educated man, and a historian, dropping a little Spanish flu knowledge on you from 1918. I like this, Chris. I mean, you know, we're all getting a lesson. I feel like I need one of those funny-looking caps on with a tassel on it. This offseason, obviously, much different than your previous years in the league. Obviously, one, being with a new franchise, and it's very, very rare that teams will ever trade intra-division. That's what happened in the AFC North. So you move from Baltimore over to Pittsburgh, and, you know, yesterday, we're recording this on Thursday night for the listeners, so tonight we would have had Lions football against the Patriots in New England. You guys in Pittsburgh would have been playing Friday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but obviously with the preseason being canceled, how much different has this preseason been now with no games? What's the schedule been like, and how has it differed for you than in years past?
Yeah, it's totally different. I mean, even so, we were supposed to play in the Hall of Fame game against the Cowboys last Thursday. So we would have been a game into it. We would have been, you know, tomorrow would have been our second preseason game. and to not even have, you know, one, I would have liked to have at least one preseason game, you know, towards the end. Not even, I mean, more or less like just a glorified scrimmage, I guess, but just to go up against someone else, you know, actually be able to tackle, actually be able to go up to the quarterback, you know, throw off in a more aggressive way than you would if it was your own, you know, your own teammates. But we're all adjusting. It's not like the Steelers are the only team that isn't playing in preseason. You know, all three teams are trying to have to find ways throughout camp and throughout those padded practices to evaluate, you know, who's going to be on that 53-man roster and the team practice squad players this year, which is definitely different. We get to add six more practice squad players to a practice squad roster. But yeah, it's been different. This is, I mean, obviously 2020 in a whole has been absolutely wild. But everyone's adjusting, and you know, the NFL is not the only industry that has been hit by this. Obviously, there are a lot of other people. You know, obviously sports radio and essential workers and teachers and, you know, things like that have been hit by this that no one expected 8 months ago. But everyone's figured it out, and it's a week by week process for us for sure.
Chris, how has it been difficult at all or challenging at all, or is everything kind of the same on the defensive side, especially at the defensive line, you know, going from Baltimore to Pittsburgh, trying to learn potentially maybe a new defensive system? I mean, does it operate like that on the D line? You know, you'd think, okay, defensive system, you think maybe that applies more to defensive backs and linebackers and those that are going to be dropping back in coverage a lot. And anytime we think of a trade, you think about, you know, guys on the offensive side of the football. But what's it like for a defensive lineman to move from one franchise to the next and get a new playbook?
Yeah, definitely difficult, especially, you know, we would have been back with each other in April. You know, in-person meetings, walkthroughs, lifting, running, and then into OTAs, and then into minicamp. That all didn't happen. This year we had virtual meetings, which just wasn't the same. So yeah, I mean, especially for somebody that's coming to a new team, a new scheme, a new system, it was difficult for me at first to kind of, you know, obviously get the plays down, but also the terminology. A lot of the stuff that a lot of teams do the same you know, scheme, same blitzes, same movements, but it's all different checks. Different things when motion happens with the offense, different formations, how the offense comes out dictates what we do as defensive linemen. And not to be able to do that until we hit camp, you know, really 2 days ago or yesterday was our first actually helmeted practice, has been difficult for me. But, you know, everyone, like I said, we have to adjust, and I'm adjusting myself and learning the plays as fast as I can and trying to get up to speed, because the train isn't stopping for one player. You know, we have a good defense, and I think we can be one of the best in the league, but it's going to take all 11 players on the field to accomplish something special. And if I want to be a part of that, I got to pick the playbook up and not lose any speed.
With the base 3-4 defense that Pittsburgh runs, you know, maybe a little more action on the edge for you, but you are reunited with another Michigan man there in the middle, Devin Bush. But there are, you mentioned his name already, Cam Hayward. I mean, there's an Ohio State guy right there, you know. But the relationship between you and Devin, and you know, getting back with another guy, a little maize and blue there in that Pittsburgh Steelers locker room.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Devin was a freshman when I was a fifth year senior, so he was a pain in my butt then. And when I saw him for the first time again, he's still a pain in my butt. But he's grown. Obviously, only into his second year, but he's going to be a phenomenal player for many years to come. And I'm excited for him to be back there and making plays and getting us in the right position. Him being the mic backer and you know, making most of the communication checks. We got Mara Darbo, who came out with me. He's a receiver for the Steelers right now, and Gentry, so he's a tight end that came out of Michigan last year as well. So we got a nice group of Michigan guys on the team, and you know, it's those familiar faces, I think, made the transition a little easier. But it's good to be back with those guys, you know, even if it's just for a season.
And you have a couple of Toledo guys on the defensive side of the football as well, with Ola Adeni. Yep. And Tuzar Skipper. My man Tuzar, he once told me he'd bench press me 20 times, until I'd slap him around a little bit. No problem there.
Yeah, Tuzar has bigger arms than me for sure. But I went up to those guys a couple days ago, and I was like, hey, I guarantee you Storm Norton locked you guys up every single practice. And, you know, we were just talking and, you know, just talking crap to each other, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, those two guys are two young guys, obviously, on the edge that are expected to make a big step. I know coaches have a lot of expectations for those guys. And it's good to see those guys, you know, come out of Toledo and having kind of that hometown connection, even if they're not from Toledo, but they, you know, they spend a good amount of time, you know, playing for the Rockets, and always good to have those guys. And Dante Johnson, he should have a huge second year with being a receiver and having Ben coming back. Should be a good year for him as well.
Yeah, the amount of connections there between those three Rockets, and then you brought up Gentry and Darbo on the offensive side of the football. Here I am just focusing on the defense, but I guess there is an offense too. How much do, in a professional atmosphere, and I don't know if it's different in college, but a lot of times you hear that, you know, guys don't really necessarily like see each other or interact with each other very much because you have your position group meetings and defenses on one side, offenses on the other. At the professional level, do you guys mingle a whole lot, offense and defense, or is it still pretty separated?
I mean, we were pretty mingled, you know, intermingled. Our lockers were next to each other. We were, you know, I was next to, you know, receivers. My first year, I was next to Joe Flacco. But this year, we at least for camp, we have a defensive locker room and an offensive locker room. So we don't spend a whole lot of time together. Obviously, if, you know, we have some type of connection and we see each other in the cafeteria, there's that. But as far as day-to-day things, it's right now, it's tough to be around the offensive guys unless we're at practice, you know, going up against them.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. Chris Wormley, Michigan alum, current Pittsburgh Steeler, joining us here now on X's and Bros. And Chris, as a Michigan Wolverine yourself, this has been a very trying time for college athletics as the Mid-American Conference was the first one to, you know, maybe the first domino to fall in the postponement of the fall athletic calendar, and the Big Ten and Pac-12 were right behind them. As a former college athlete yourself, I mean, how do you deal with this, especially if you're an upperclassman? You know, if you're an incoming freshman, okay, now you have more time to prepare, because that jump from high school to college, that's not just a walk, you know, a walk down the street. Like, that's a legitimate jump. And then, you know, for an upperclassman who's, you know, maybe they'll get their eligibility back and they'll get an extra scholarship year, but a lot still up in the air and a lot for the NCAA to figure out. And you just got a feel for those kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's devastating, especially if the season, you know, get canceled altogether and they're not just pushed back to, you know, late January. I think that's how the Big Ten was thinking about starting again. But if I'm a senior or a fifth-year senior and I have, you know, a shot of being in the NFL or getting drafted, and this season was supposed to really, you know, put my mark on some things and show good tape, I'm devastated. You know, it's tough to be a 24-year-old six-year senior playing again, trying to, you know, convince NFL scouts and GMs to draft you, you know, pretty high when they can draft a 21-year-old that plays your position that is, you know, 3 years younger, fresher, and has more, you know, time, I guess, to develop. But I feel for those guys. Hopefully there'll be a season. I know a couple of the guys that are still on Michigan's roster, Carlo Kent being one of them. He's a captain, you know. I'm guessing he'll be a captain again this year, and he has a shot of making it to the league. And if this year was supposed to, you know, kind of push that needle more towards his favor of being in the league and then having a shot, and the season gets canceled, it's heartbreaking, and I feel for those guys. But then you kind of look at it too on the safety side of it as well, and kind of understand why teams and conferences and presidents of universities are taking precaution. I saw something that said that, you know, if the season goes without a hitch, you know, the other three conferences in the Big 12, SEC and ACC, they'll be patted on the back. But if things go wrong, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten will be patted on the back, and there's not really a win-win situation, I don't think, when it comes to stuff like this. But hopefully, no matter what, you know, all five conferences and you know, maybe a MAC can follow something like the Big Ten and play in the, you know, late winter, early spring, just to have those guys be out there and play for the university and play for one another and obviously make that dream of going to the NFL for the older guys.
Yeah, and you mentioned Carlo Kemp. One of the other names that really sticks out, if you're a Michigan fan, would be somebody like Nico Collins, a guy that chose to come back this year for one more year, who has all the gifts. And you would have thought, even though it was a deep wide receiver draft last year, that Nico would have been picked up early at some point. And, to have something like this happen when, like you said, I mean, you're on the cusp, but right now age starts to play a factor and everything else. And it is just a headache for a lot of those young guys there. And you mentioned that you got to be able to this really is a lose-lose situation, because if the other three conferences, everything works out, like you said, then they get patted on the back and it's great for them and it's bad for the other two. And if something bad happens, well, then it's good for the Big Ten and good for the Pac-12. And then we all have to sit there and point fingers, and there's no nuance anymore. Everybody's just got to be 100% right or 100% wrong. And I don't know what the hell that's about, but it's neither here nor there. And it's just with so many things up in the air, they can't handle it at the college level like you guys can at the NFL level. It's just not the same. Bringing that up, and this could be opening up a can of worms. Name, image, and likeness, man. With your time at the University of Michigan, like as a college athlete, should you have been paid?
100%. I know that I wouldn't have been driving my PT Cruiser 2001. I would not have been driving the PT Cruiser. Look, if you're a math student and you're really good at math, you can tutor kids and you can get paid. There's no, you don't lose your scholarship. You don't lose games. You don't get suspended from school, or you don't get kicked out of school for tutoring kids. And if guys want to use their likeness or use their expertise in being athletes to get paid to do certain things, why not? It's not hurting anybody. But I know a lot of people have other opinions on that, but. It's not hurting anybody for somebody to pay for my meal, or for me to drive a loaner car in a dealership for a promotion, or sign 1,000 autographs and get paid $10 an autograph for that to live a little better life in college for being one of the best at my position or in my sport. So as long as there's no harm and there's no I guess you can kind of think about gambling a little bit and the things that can go with that and fixing games, but I don't really see that happening. But if I want to sign a few autographs and make an extra couple bucks, then why not?
He's Chris Wormley. And good news, he doesn't drive a PT Cruiser anymore. Chris Wormley, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, man, thank you again so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Bill Simonson here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health University of Michigan Health. Now, they serve the entire state, and they offer up some of the best sports physicians, physical therapists, access to some of the best surgeons, and also a training staff that covers every sport, high school, youth, college, and pro. You can go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. If you or a child of yours has suffered an injury, and you want to get back to playing or maybe going out for that nightly jog, they can help. Or maybe your child wants to return to that game they love to play. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. From youth to high school to college to semi-pro and pro sports, they are the leaders when it comes to dealing with sports injuries. Find out more. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. That's metrohealth.net.
What will you do with tomorrow? Will you use it to make life better for you and your family? Will you spend it on an adventure, traveling somewhere new and experiencing something profound? Will you use tomorrow to rest, to work, to hope, to love? Your tomorrow, like every tomorrow, will be filled with opportunity and potential. And your tomorrow, like every tomorrow, will unfold in part because of your brain. There will be moments tomorrow that can be seized by you, driven by you, and defined by you. Your brain can lead you there. Your brain can make tomorrow memorable. Whether your efforts are realized by thousands or felt only by you, tomorrow matters. And tomorrow is worth happening.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more at your Auto Value Hard Store, where service is the difference. We get it.
Save this month on Turtle Wax Ceramic Detail Spray, just $13.99. WD-40's Easy Reach is only $10.99. And Kurt 2-inch Hitch Balls are just $8.99. Shop online at MyAutoValueStore.com and get 20% off orders of $100 or more with coupon code SUMMER20. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.